We got the great Tom Skilling on the line. Tom, you're on WGN. Thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
John, a pleasure. Good to talk to you.
Oh, it's always
great. You're right, John. This is historic stuff that's coming in. Looks like it's going to be the coldest weather here in over half a century now. You'll have to go back to 1966 to see a temperature like this. And, you know, we're talking about nighttime lows that could get down around 20 to 23 below, and daytime highs will only get up to around 10 below. That's unheard of. The coldest daytime high we've ever had recorded in Chicago is 11 below. So, you know, we're in that territory right here.
And,
interesting, John, is how quickly it's going to pull out of here. But we've got three really barbaric days ahead and could be in the 40s as early as Sunday. So how about that?
Yeah, that's Chicago for you. So I got to ask, Tom, because, you know, a few years ago we had the words polar vortex got thrown around a bunch and we saw the snow. Yeah. Then we'd see the dip in the temperatures and it went back and forth a few times. Is that what we're talking about here? I mean, what's happening? Why are we getting such a blast here?
Well, you know, it's interesting. There's a phenomenon they've discovered that's known as sudden stratospheric warming up over the North Pole. It's a situation where the temperature up there in the highest levels of the atmosphere rises 50 degrees inside of just a 24-hour period. And that usually is followed 2 weeks later by cold air developing. It leads to a buckling of the jet stream, and then this cold air pool is tapped up to the north and can plunge down on us. So this is really one of these, you know, and there's even some discussion that maybe this is a product of the ice meltup in the Arctic, these warm events, but that's a bit controversial, and they're still studying that. But this was the marker we got about 2 weeks ago, that we were going to have one of these really barbaric cold air masses come down. The polar vortex, when that happens, John, splits into two pockets, and the jet streams buckle around it. Well, when you get a buckled jet, that flow comes right in from the Arctic and delivers this cold air uninterrupted and unimpeded. And, of course, it's snow-covered from here all the way up to the Arctic coast of North America. So you've got the track over which the Siberian Express runs working for you, too. And all these things contribute to the cold. Now, on top of that, we're going to have wind with this, and that generates these terribly low wind chills of 50 below. And all this really starts locking in tomorrow afternoon, tomorrow night, Wednesday night and into Thursday morning. It looks like there'll be 78 hours in which the wind chills go below zero and 48 hours where thermometer readings drop below zero. That'll first happen tomorrow evening and then continue uninterrupted through tomorrow night, Wednesday night and into Thursday morning. And we might get a local sub-zero reading by morning as well. And, of course, having this fresh new snowpack around here is not hurting anything either.
Tom, I got to ask, because I saw an old front page from the Sun-Times back from, I think it was 83, Christmas Eve, and it said,
yes,
in big bold, minus 82 wind chill, which is just an eye-popping number. Of course, 50 below is an eye-popping number as well. And then I read an article somewhere that they kind of redid how they measured wind chill. Do you know anything about that? And is minus 82 what it really was? I mean, what's the equivalent to what we think the new measurement would be if we retook that?
The new measurement would be in the order of 50 to 60 below.
Actually,
the temperature during the cold snap in 1987 using the old wind chill calculation at one point went down to 93 below zero. And that's the lowest wind chill recorded, but that's under the old scheme. This one will produce 50 to 55 below wind chills in parts of the area by Wednesday morning. So you see we're right up against that. And by the way, that Christmas cold siege followed the warmest Christmas period we ever had the year before. That was an El Nino year. Then the following year was the coldest ever. But it also was the period of the longest consecutive string of sub-zero wind chills, which was 100 consecutive hours. This one will be on the order of 78 consecutive hours. So, you know, we're at the top end of the ledger here in terms of extreme cold air events coming in. And again, you'll really start to feel this tomorrow afternoon and evening. Tomorrow night, Wednesday night, Thursday will be brutally cold, brutally and dangerously cold.
Yeah, when you say dangerous, I mean, it's all fun and games to make jokes about it. Will our cars start? Those sorts of things. But there's some people that are going to be outside that really need some help in these sorts of situations. When you talk about frostbite time, I know there's numbers that are thrown around with that. And when you're talking about 50 below, 55 degrees below zero, I mean, how many minutes is that before you're really in a dangerous situation with exposed skin?
Just a matter of literally minutes. You know, we're talking 10, 15 minutes. And, you know, there are other things that will happen. You'll notice you'll hear cracking and creaking and all by Wednesday morning. We've not had cold like this for a while. That's as the buildings kind of crack and creak and our trees doing outside. Another thing, too, you'll see is unusual optical phenomena. You'll tend to get sun dogs, those halos around the sun that have some prism-colored patches on either side, or something we call light pillars, which are vertical shafts of light emanating from light sources. And the reason for that is these incredibly cold air masses have suspended ice crystals in them, and they're usually found up in the Arctic, but this sets up these unusual optical phenomena as well. So just a whole bunch of, and of course, Lake Michigan will steam incredibly because we're going to have strong westerly winds that by later tomorrow night, could be gusting to 40. So that's going to push the ice kind of away from the shoreline here, give you exposed water, and this cold air will be running out over the lake. So it ought to be quite a scene along the lakefront by the time we get to Wednesday morning around here, during the day Wednesday. And what's interesting, too, John, is even at the height of the temperature Wednesday afternoon, the wind chills look like they'll still be running in the 35 to 40 below zero range.
Wow.
So you'll start 50 to 55 below zero Wednesday morning, go up to 35 to 40 below, and then we're going to change jet streams, blow Pacific air in here, and temperatures will rebound more than 40 degrees by this coming weekend. It will go back into that warmer weather regime that had characterized the winter up to this point.
Yeah, it's almost unfathomable that you're at 33 right now, and we're talking about temperatures 50 degrees below where we are now. I had a quick question for you, Tom, about, you know, and I hear Morgan talk about this sometimes in the mornings on WGN9, is that when you have a clear sky through the overnight hours, you know, you think sunshine's going to help you out through the afternoon, but when the clear sky continues through the overnight hours, that actually makes things much cooler when you wake up in the morning.
Well, I'll tell you, that doesn't work in this situation.
Okay.
Because it gets cold, and these Arctic air masses have a setup all their own. Normally, it's true, when you have a clear sky and light winds, which we won't have in this one, then you get radiative cooling, you know, which sends the heat out into space. No doubt clear skies don't blanket the areas clouds do and hold some of the heat in. But in a cold air mass of this magnitude, the winds can blow, you know, strongly through it, which marries not only the cold air, but also the wind chills to the air mass and renders it a lot more dangerous than your typical cold air mass around here. You know, John, it's fascinating. The greatest number of deaths on this planet due to extreme weather occur in temperature extremes. And we're going to be at the low end of the spectrum here. Down in Australia in the last week, they were at the high end. They were melting roads with 120-degree temperatures, all-time highs down there. But it's in that sort of extreme thermal regime that you've got to be careful because people can lose their lives in this.
Yeah.
And it would be wise to, you know, look in on the elderly and people who live by themselves to be sure the heat's working and everything else. Because this is going to be challenging weather.
Yeah, Tom, it's going to be historic. I've got my blankets in the car ready to go in case anything happens. I've got my liquor cabinet stocked at home in case anything happens. I've already gone and done the groceries, and all those things are advisable. Tom, we really appreciate you stopping by and giving us
John,
some time here.
Don't drink in this kind of weather. Alcohol actually is the worst thing you can do. It
really?
Doesn't warm you up. Yeah, so don't drink during this.
What about some hot cocoa or something with a little bit of extra in there?
Now, that's good. That's good. As long as you don't turn to the adult beverages, you know. with alcohol in them. The hot cocoa idea is a great one.
All right. Okay. Well, whatever Tom Skilling tells me, I'm going to do. Tom, thanks for your time.
John, great to talk to you. Stay warm.
Absolutely. And obviously keep it up. Listen and watch Tom on Channel 9 for all the updates. He is absolutely the best.